Beautiful people, this is the day that the Lord has made, so you know we got to rejoice and be glad in it. You are watching, you're listening to the Young Believers Podcast with your two favorite girls, Mimi and Belle. Belle, greet the people.
Hello, 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 beautiful people of the Israel Net. I pray that y'all are having a beautiful, wonderful, marvelous day. As you can now see, we have a guest. Say hello to the people, Allison.
Hi. Hey, woman of God. How you doing? I'm waving like I ain't been on the phone with her for the past 2 hours.
That's all right.
Yes, our beautiful and amazing devotional columnist is here. I know y'all been enjoying her devotional. She has been knocking your socks off, slicking back your hair, messing up your eyebrows. Your eyelash has been floating away because she has really been declaring the word of the Lord through writing and through devotional. So I'm so happy that she's here. Today we got a good one. We got a real good one. I'm excited. Yes, I am. Today's topic is to encourage you, all of you ladies, whether you are single, whether you are married, whether you are about to be married, is to encourage women to pursue excellence by talking about the Proverbs 31 woman. Y'all ready? I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, we're ready. Please
stop.
Does anyone want to read Proverbs 31? You want to start off with reading it? Y'all looking at me read.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read it from this beautiful, beautiful blue Bible of mine. In the Christian Standard Bible Version, this is Proverbs 31. Okay. Do I want to read the King? Nope, we'll stay here. All right, so this is the Christian Standard Bible Version. The words of King Lemuel, a pronouncement that his mother taught him. What should I say, my son? What son of my womb? What son of my vows? Don't spend your energy on women or your efforts on those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to despise beer. Otherwise, King Lemuel's mama's talking to him. We're skipping down to verse 10. Who can find a wife of noble character? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good and not evil all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. She evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings. She draws on her strength and reveals that her arms are strong. She sees that her profits are good and her lamp never goes out at night. She extends her hands to the spinning staff and her hands hold the spindle. Her hands reach out to the poor and she extends her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows. For all in her household are doubly clothed. She makes her own bed coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the city gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes and sells linen garments. She delivers belts to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor, and let her works praise her at the city gates. I have read to you Proverbs 31, verses 10 through the end. Proverbs 31 woman. So there's a lot of things that this chapter of the Bible tells us about a Proverbs 31 woman. There's a lot of things that
are
said.
There's a lot to unpack from that. And firstly, I think the very first step, I know the very first step to becoming a Proverbs 31 woman is to first fear the Lord. And when you take that first step and you're seeking after God's soul, one, you can't help but to start the preparation process for this. Because in order to be a godly woman, these are the characteristics that you have to have. And, you know, I would say I've experienced, you know, some things. I've learned some things is what I want to say. I've learned some things about myself over these past couple of weeks, days, whatever you want to call it. Things that I know that God has showed me, Tanisha, these are some things that you have to work on. You've already taken the steps to become the woman, this Proverbs 31 woman. You've already started to see those things illustrate within your life, you know? And I have, because I have been working on myself from the moment I started college all the way till now. The Tanisha from freshman year is a completely different Tanisha than the woman that you see right now. Praise him. Thank God. I've taken the steps. I've done things. I've experienced things. I'm constantly learning on what to do, how to do things, how to go about it, remembering who my source is, remembering that I am strong in times of weakness, remembering all of these things, and it becoming like, what do they call it, like secondhand nature or something like that, where it becomes a part of who you are. It's not more so, Lord, help me to remember these things, but you walk in it enough to where you naturally go to these things, you naturally do these things. And so this past week, you know, I've learned a lot about myself. And, you know, I've spoken with my mom. I've spoken with so many other women in my life, even the women that you see on the screen, about certain things. And hearing that advice, trying to see what to do, trying to see how to go about things, you pray. And here's what I want to say, because I want to relate it to any woman out there who is like, well, I'm looking for a husband, I'm looking for a godly man, I want to be in a relationship, because I'm in that boat where I'm like, Lord, I want a husband, but I'm not going to settle for anything. I have standards, I have morals, I have things that I'm like, my husband has to have this, because he has to be as equally yoked as me. He has to have all of these things. So I went to my mom and I said, how do I pray? How do I pray for what I want? Now that I'm talking, all these notifications won't pop up. But how do I pray for what I want? And she just says, you know, pray for the characteristics that you want in a man. So that's what I started doing. And instead, God showed me what I need to do in order to have those characteristics for the man that he is going to send me. It was like a reflection of myself. Mm-hmm. And I immediately was like, whoa
there.
Like, I got this to work on. I got that to work on. Because in my mind, I'm like, I'm ready. I'm prepared. I got it. And it's not to say that I'm not, but I have things to work on. I have my entire life, I've worked on confidence. My entire life, I've worked on strength. And I have those things, but God allowed me to be in a situation where I noticed those two things bend. And I was unsure. I was in a state of uncertainty. And that can't be. That can't be. Because I remember I was telling my father and I was telling my mom, I don't ever want to be in a situation or in a place where I allow a man to define who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And, or I don't want to ever be in a place where I ask somebody to define who I am because I'm unsure about myself. So there were things that was that reflection of myself. God allowed me to see, this is what you can have. Now, this is what you can have. This is what you can do, you know. And it was a test. It was a test as well because I prayed about everything. And I'm so thankful I passed the test. Thank you, God. So happy. But it was a test to see what I would do in certain situations. And then after the test was over, you know how when you take a test, and then you go back and you look at it and you see what you did wrong. Even though you passed it, you may not have passed it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go back and you look at the test and you're like, okay, what were the things that I missed? And how can I go about changing it so that next time when it come back around, I can make it 100%. And so that's exactly what it was. I was allowed to see everything that I did wrong. Before everything happened, I prayed about it. I did what I knew to do. But the things that I did wrong, God showed me those things. And now I'm able to be like, okay, so I still have these things to work on. I still have my confidence to work on. I still have my strength to work on, my mental state to work on, because in order to be a Proverbs, in order to get an Ephesians 5 man, I have to first be a Proverbs 31 woman.
I want to say this because I was thinking about what you were just saying. There's a lot of things I need to work on, and I just thought about it. You will never stop working on those things, even when he comes.
Yep.
Even the man that God has for you comes, because he defines the wife, finds the good thing. When he comes, when he finds you, you still be working on that. Don't work on the things. Because there might be somebody out there like, I'm working on this because I'm trying to get my Ephesians 5 man. You don't ever need to stop working on it. If you have if you had an attitude problem and you need to work on it, you don't stop when he comes.
Right.
You continue to work on it. So I want women to know as well that, you know, may not be married. Don't work on it for the purpose to find the man or to get the man. Work on it for the purpose to be pleasing to God.
Yes.
Don't work on it because, well, I'm doing this so that the man that God has for me can come. Okay, that's great. But when he comes, how you gonna keep him if you stop working for the stuff? If you stop working on the stuff you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
You're working on your issues for the wrong reason. You're working on your finances for the wrong reason. I don't want to work on my finances for a man. I want to work on my finances so that I can do whatever I need to do that God has called me to do in my life. Because all my husband is going to do when he comes is add to that, push me into my purpose, because we're going to walk there together.
Exactly. Because you're equally yoked.
So don't just work on the things to get the man. Work on the things to be pleasing to God.
Yes.
I'm going to get off my soapbox.
So adding to what Miana just said, I shared my story to say that it's a matter of growth.
Yeah.
I have more growing to do. For myself, y'all, for myself, for God, so that I can become the woman that I need to be for God. All of this is about growth. And yes, yes, I desire to be in a relationship and whatnot, but I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've grown to that. And I still have to grow more in that. And I will constantly be growing in that, because that's every woman. I know who I am, and I know what I desire to be. And that's where I'm trying to grow to within mm-hmm. God, because I still have my desires of the type of woman that I want to be. Y'all, I'm 21 years old. When I turn 25 and 27, then I will have a different desire, because I will have already reached my goal. Now it's what type of woman do I want to be for this? Because I'll be in different circumstances. For certain women, you know, they say they get into a relationship, well, or they get married, and now they're getting ready to have children. Okay, now their desire is different. Lord, let me grow to be the mother that I need to be. You know, it changes, but you're constantly growing. You know, I'm growing as a 21-year-old woman. Like, Lord, make me the woman that I need to be for this, for that, and, you know, so on and so forth. So you're constantly growing. It's all about growth, and it's all about pleasing God, and it's all about the type of woman that you desire to be for God.
Absolutely.
Because yes. Then you at your best. If you do it for God, you can't mess up, y'all.
Right. I want to add something to that. I'm in complete agreeance. Like, I'll say a little bit of my story. Once I decided to actually serve God, to fear God, and to make that my heart, and not to worry about all the other things, that's actually when I met my almost husband, but my fiance. And though we met each other years before we actually got married, we met the summer before our senior year of high school, because I feel like that was God showing me, is like, okay, because you have decided to follow me, you decided to not be like your friends, you decided to actually sincerely follow me, I'm just going to show you a snippet of what I got for you. And it was legit a snippet for 2 weeks. And that's when I saw him, and I said, okay, you know, this is interesting. And man, never knew that this would one day be the person that I'm going to marry. But even in that desire to wanting to become more, and like in my state, becoming a wife, learning the roles of being a wife, like reading Proverbs 31, I'm like, Lord, like, okay, all right, you know. And it's really interesting, you know, like, I'm a lovely independent type person, you know, I was raised independent, do it yourself, you got it. And so then I had to learn, you know, like when you're reading about having an Ephesians 5 husband and submitting to your husband, I was like, Lord, you gonna have to help me with that, because I love my independence. But at the same time, during the process of us being engaged, God has shown me how I can work, and even show my fiance of how I would can submit to him, and that he can submit to me as well, that we can be in that type of relationship. And just by the small things, you know, like, though we're in two different parts of the world, like, deciding, like, okay, I'm going to do, I want to do this, but I'm not going to make this decision yet until I have my husband with me. Or I think this, I want to do this really big thing that God's called me to do, but, you know, I want to talk to even though he's my fiance now, but I want to talk to my husband about it, because I know God, when he puts us together, we're going to be an extremely powerful couple for the edification of his glory. So when we do things together, it's just going to be amazing. So even in these small things, I'm learning how to, you know, submit to the will of God as well as submit to my husband, and that, and to finding that common ground that is not a bad thing, you know, submitting to your husband. Because I think that's the connotation that a lot of us get, like, oh, submit to my husband, really. And, you know, learning that just, and I'm just in the starting phase of it. I mean, I'm engaged, I'm not married yet, but just to the point of like slowly seeing how God will show you the fruits of your labor when you are trying to do better. So, yes.
Stuff good.
Speak over to God. So I want to kind of shift the conversation a little bit, because we talked about, you know, a Proverbs 31 woman, and we read it, and we talked about how the Lord is preparing each one of us and everything like that. But I kind of want to talk about, as you are learning to be a Proverbs 31 woman, things to look at, to watch out for, because I heard this, I actually saw this video from a woman named Stephanie Ike. That's what it was. Stephanie Ike started talking about counterfeits. Things that look like it's what you need, but it's not what you need. Because technically, sometimes counterfeits are able to steal from us the thing that God has given us, because we don't look at them with spiritual eyes. We look at them with fleshly eyes, or the man with fleshly eyes. So I guess the question I would ask to you, Allison, is how were you able to know that, you know, your fiance is not a counterfeit?
That is a great question. So, my God. I will say, before I met my fiance, I made the decision to leave all of these lovely young men alone that were in my DMs. I made the decision to let them all go
in the DMs.
I made a decision. It was like, you know, that I don't like being played with. I don't like my emotions being played with. And I said, you know what? I'm going to forget all about that and follow you, and to really devote myself to you. And it's hard, because I mean, you got all these people that try to come into your DM, try to text you, you know, try to get to know you, but they're not always there for your good. They're there sometimes to distract you, to pull you away from what God has for mm-hmm. you. So like, you have to be able to know yourself, and knowing who you are in God helps you to be able to delineate, so to say, who's for you and who's not for you. And so God was like, I'm waiting on you to go ahead and just, you know, hand it over and let me handle it. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm giving it up. I'm leaving it alone. I'm like, I'm already frustrated anyway, you know, from all these other things. And I was like, okay, God, like, I give it to you. I'm gonna let you have it. And with that, when he showed me who my future husband would be, though when we met, we weren't at the best spot for each other. I mean, we still were in high school. We still did whatever we did. But as we continued to learn each other and to get to know each other, we both evolved better for each other, if that makes sense. Like, God showed me him in certain ways. God showed him me in certain ways. And it made both of us change who we used to be in order to be the couple that God wanted us to be. And that was even before we actually got together. But because we were both in connection with each other, our lives changed. And we also were able to grow closer to God, even just with us knowing each other. So you have to have your spiritual ears on and listen. When God throw up that big red flag, do not walk past it. See that the red flag is there and leave it alone. Do not pass go. Like, if you said don't go, don't go. You'd be like, all right, I got you, God. But yeah, that's what I would say.
So based off what you're saying, what I'm noticing is God allowed you guys to cultivate a friendship that through this friendship, through you guys following God together as friends, you were able to grow into the people that God wanted you to be. And then he was like, okay, I could put y'all together now. Yes. Y'all can do something now. Okay. Yes. See, clarification. There we go.
That's so good. Yeah. And that actually reminds me of something that a friend of ours said to us, Miana, and I'm trying to see if you remember, but he said, let your walls down and keep your discernment up.
That's I don't good. Remember how this was said, but that's good. That's real
that's good. And I when I heard that, I was like, oh, I'm taking that with me, because that's good to me. Because, you know, you want to be able to talk to a person, get to know a person, grow with them, but still watch and still allow God to show you things. So that's real good. Yeah. So
don't be in a rush to date the person.
Yeah.
Get to know them.
And I think that when you really get to know, because somebody may look good on the outside. It's like, ooh, you look like you love the look, because you go to church and you do this, and ooh, you look
shouting every Sunday.
Doing all of this stuff, but then you so quick to get in a relationship, you're like, ooh, that's gonna be my man, that's my husband. Gosh, first of all, it said he that findeth a wife, it findeth the wife. So calm down, back up. That's number one. But be friends with them. Have conversation. And I'm big on conversation, not even just in relationships romantically, but in relationships, period. You will not know who a person is, what ticks them, what gets them going, what you don't know anything about a person until you have a conversation with them. And I've been in a situation where they looked like the person, but then I start to talk to them and ask them questions. How mm-hmm. is this part of your life?
Mm-hmm.
How is your relationship with your dad, your mom, your family? What priority is the Lord priority in your life?
That's the one.
Are you gonna love God more than me? To if I'm messing up, you gonna correct me? Because what if people be like, I love, you know, my partner more than anything.
That's a problem.
I want the man that God has for me to love God so much that if I come up short, he can mm-hmm. say, baby, that's not right. You need to go to that altar and you need to repent. And we can do that with each other, vice versa. I need to love God. That's why it goes back to a Proverbs 31 woman is a woman who fears the Lord.
Yeah.
And if you don't fear the Lord, you can't do that. So don't be so in a rush to get in a relationship. Be friends.
Be friends.
For real. Can I be your friend today?
Right. And being friends, know your limits. When we're being friends, know your limits. Know, like, okay, maybe this ain't gonna work for me, but that's okay. You know, knowing, like, okay, like, I'm gonna say it's like knowing that after a certain time, you don't even talk to somebody.
Don't call me after nine.
Knowing
that's the one is right. It's getting close to cutoff time.
Right. Or, you know, knowing, like, okay, I don't know, that's a big one. That's really a big one. But just
like,
like, yeah, but like,
sign hug me today.
Right. Know yourself. Oh gosh. For real. But like, know yourself. Like, know, like, okay, at this moment, I don't need to be around you. At this moment, I don't need to talk to you. Like you said, sign hug me. Don't, you know, like, just know the things that pushes your buttons so you can stay in alignment and with the will of God.
Yes.
In that friendship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then learn how to be, I think me and Tam were talking about this on the last podcast, learning how to be a friend. So, yes. Know, because if you know how to be my friend, I feel like you, and this is my personal opinion, I'm going to go ahead and put that out there, but I feel like if you're my friend, you first, you know how to love me in a relationship, because in a friend, you know, in certain situations, Mimi don't want to talk. I'm sleepy today. I don't want you to bother me today. We need to be apart today. Like knowing your, like, that's what you were saying about knowing yourself to know at a certain amount of time, my social battery is like,
yep.
And if you talk to me, it might not come out right. Whatever I say might not come. Be their friend. You learn those things in friendship.
Yep. Yeah.
So I would say, I'm even telling myself and encouraging myself, if somebody comes, friend them, befriend them first.
And y'all, it's not bad to be in the friend zone.
It's not.
It's not.
It seems like
y'all
it
put this negative outlook on being in the friend zone. It's not a bad thing.
It's bad.
That's how you get to start off as friends.
Absolutely.
It's ideal, actually.
Yeah, and I definitely would say that, because once you create that friendship with each other, you have this, what am I trying to say? It's like you've gotten to know each other more on like a mental level, on a spiritual level, and like you're there. And so let's say this is the person that you're going to marry, and when you get old and you older, you fell in love with that person with the friendship, with what's in their mind, the way that they do things. Because when you get old, I mean, Lord, you never know what's going to happen to you. Lord forbid, you know, you might have some disabilities. You might not be able to do something. But because of the friendship that you've created with that person is what's going to allow your marriage to sustain, even when you get in rough patches and times, like, because every marriage has its hardships. But that's just like, you know, when you can look at somebody and they have annoyed and agitated you, and you'd be like, but I still love you. and you have that. You can be mad at each other. You can be in a rough patch. But because you've created that friendship and you still love each other, that's how you're able to build off of that to continue to further your marriage into a longevity. So that building that friendship, like y'all were saying, it's so important, because, I mean, when you get older, and even in the rough patches, that's the foundation for keeping you together, because you started with that friendship.
Yeah. There was this movie I was watching, and she was talking, she didn't know what to do. There's different men she was trying to choose between someone. And her friend goes, who would you be in a room with? No TV, and the lights are out. And she was like, what? You don't got no phone, you don't got no TV. She's looking at her like, what? Who would you be in the room with? No electronics, lights out, it's just you and them, and all y'all have is talking. I think that is a great question to ask.
For real.
Mm-hmm. You, like, that's another question you learn in friendship. Like even now in friendship, just friendship talking, the two of you, if there was no electronics, we were up in a cabin and all we had to do was talk to each other, I think we could make it.
Oh, we're going to make it, because we're going to make each other laugh. We're going to be talking about different topics. Oh, yeah.
And I believe that's a question I would ask, you know, about my significant, like, can I talk to you in a room with nothing?
Right.
Right. Question to ask. So just think about it.
I wanna share this. This is something that one of my professors actually sent me. And I will absolutely love her for this. But she said, don't force something you aren't 100% on. Please take your time. If now isn't the time, then trust that love will bring you guys back again. If you move too soon, things might turn toxic or keep you away for good. And then she said, continue to be friends. Really get to know each other. You guys are young. Live life. Take this time to really get in each other's heads to see about compatibility. She said, you never know
but some red flags might pop up and then you'd be like, never mind. And then the last thing that she said is, don't ever feel bad about putting you first and thinking for you. Don't let him or any man distract you from your work. You have goals to accomplish, and the right guy is supposed to encourage you and help push you towards that goal, not distract you and have you off track. If he doesn't see what you are trying to accomplish, then he's just not the one for you right now. Then she said, hope this helps.
That's good. Because a man who is saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost will notice your vision and will even see some things in you that you don't yet see. Like, you might have a vision in front of you, but because he is helping you and pushing you into purpose and being that extra help to push you, he'll see some other things. Like, hey, I see this too. Think about that. Let's pray about it and see if God wants you to do that too. So I like that. See, we like her, professor. We like her.
For real. That is true. Like, yeah, being with the right person, it helps push not just you, but both of you into fruition. Because, I mean, if I hadn't had my fiance, I wouldn't have gone out to sing and be a worship leader at a church. Because, I mean, I didn't see it, but he encouraged me and pushed me into like, yeah, you can do it. He's like, do you see yourself? And I'm like, no.
But, I mean, him, and even with both of us in the different things that we do, like, we're able to push each other. And like, I don't know who said this, I've heard this from, but you start to live at the end of your comfort zone. And like, they're supposed to push you out of your comfort zone. And you grow together in that.
Absolutely. That's good to me. You better push. And she's a great worship leader, might I add.
She really is.
I wanted to add that in there.
She got me to go there.
She cries. She lifts up her voice like a trumpet. That's good to me. But yes, like, I believe that this episode is to encourage us to not give up on love, but know that your steps are ordered, and when it's time, he will come.
And to prepare while you wait.
Prepare while you wait. But as you're preparing, make sure you're getting better for you.
Grow.
Because
for the right reason.
Growing will prepare you. Because I heard a mother say, she said, my husband found me while I was working.
Mm.
She said, I wasn't paying attention to him. I was working. I was, you know, doing what I needed to do in the church. I was serving. I was already doing what I needed to do for me. And I believe that a man who is husband material will recognize the difference between a woman who is trying to be this for the purpose to find a man and this for a purpose to be pleasing to God. Mm-hmm. A man who is righteous will know the difference. And so definitely, definitely do it. Grow for you and he will come. I believe that strongly in my heart. Absolutely.
I agree. 110%.
Come on, another second. Yeah. So look, y'all, we just wanted to just give you guys a piece of our hearts and a piece of just some things that we have learned and what we know. And congratulations, Miss Malone, on getting married.
Thank you.
And it can happen for you. It can happen for you. This could be the year of the bride for you. I don't know. But whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. Do it in the name of the Most High. We love you. Thank you for growing in the faith with us. And we will see you next episode.